So today what I want to do is spend some time with you in a message entitled Change. A message entitled Change. Change is important. Not everybody likes change. Some people just like to say, I'm going to leave everything as it is. I'm comfortable. But God loves change. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth that there would be change. And the beauty of the Lord is that he never changes. Amen. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. He doesn't change at all. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless always. The same yesterday and today and forevermore. That's out of the Amplified Version. He's changeless. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And oftentimes we want to live in our yesterdays because they seemed better than our now. God wants you to live in the now. He wants you to know that your future is really great. You know, things change. Now bear with me today, I'm going to preach in a moment. Things change. I looked up the definition of thing. An object that one need not, cannot, or does not wish to give a specific name to. It's a thing. What's that thing in your hand? What's that thing hanging on the wall? An inanimate material object of distinct from a living sentient being. So it's inanimate. It's a thing. You and I are not things. We're beings. We're human. Jesus came not to save things, but to save us, his children. An action, activity, event, thought, or utterance is a thing. Are you going to that thing tonight? What's that thing you just did? Oh, I've been to that thing. Would you say that again? Because I didn't understand that a thing that you just said. Thing. And what is needed or required? You know what? I need something in my life. And the beauty of what I'm saying to you today is that we need to have our opportunities availing to us every day. And through this day that we're celebrating, Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to share some things with you that opportunities are always there for you and I. Change. It's a scary word, a fearful word to some. It's a challenging word to others. Things change. Definition I just said, things change. You change the thing on your wall. You change the place that you went to. You change that thing that's around your neck. You change things. People change. I've known people that were one way and within weeks they had changed to another way. I met somebody one day that was without employment, on the streets, begging, filthy, unbathed, clothes in very dirty clothes that had a bad odor about them. No shoes on their feet. And then I met them 7 years later. And they say, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a pastor." He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't remember you." But now he's employed. He says, "I've got a job now because you preached a message on the street one day entitled, Keep On, Keeping On. And it kept me going. And today, I'm all right." You see, God will bring change to somebody's life even by using you and I. He will use us to bless people when we think that we're not blessing them. It's a wonderful thing. I had a man come to me one day and he was heavy set and he was in a outfit of an automobile company that is very well known. Had on shoes that you would wear in a mechanic shop. He said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't, sir." He said, "The last time you saw me, I was very skinny. And I did not have anything, and I'd lost everything." There's that word thing again. He said, "But today, my wife and three children are back with me. Today, I have my own apartment, and we're living in it. And today, I have a $30 an hour job at this automobile company. Thank you, Pastor." You see, if you'll just allow God to use you and to instruct you and to obey Him, you will bring change where you think that it may not ever happen, where you think it may be impossible. And Sarah, that was pretty impossible to have a baby at her age. But it brought change to all of Israel. A change that we still talk about today. How could one man be birthed on this earth that would change the world? Change is important. Places change. Sometimes you're living one way and the next day you're living somewhere else. Places change. Friends change. You go through a best friend very rapidly in this world today. Friends change. Careers change. People are going from one job to another today looking for something that they could do better. Change is all around us. Economies change. Our economy has gone one direction, another direction, and now it's heading up again, and everybody realizes that soon enough it'll probably head down again. Economies change. Gas is one price one day, and it's another price another day. We have no idea when we go to the gas pump, if you're like me. I think on the way to the gas pump, what am I going to pay today? Now, I remember when I was younger, and when the gas wars were on, I was paying 19 cents a gallon for gas. Now, there's no gas wars anymore. It's just you wonder what you're going to pay when you get to the station. But God never changes. God never changes. Today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. I gave you this introduction about change because God had made promises to His people. You see, God has said, "I promise." What He has said to you personally in your depth of relationship with Him, whether when you're reading the Word, whether it is a time where you have found God in prayer, or whether it is where someone was speaking, whether in a small cell group or in a Bible study within the realms and the walls of a church or from a pulpit you heard something and God promised you. You see, the beauty about the Lord is that He promises our lives to be good. Let me say that again because I want that to resonate in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. God promises our life to be good, to be blessed, to be fulfilled, to be encouraged, to be prosperous. Now, prosperous doesn't always mean a fat bank account or a fat wallet, because that's how we think as human beings. Prosperous means health. Prosperous means great families. Prosperous means having great friends, great marriages, a great job. Prosperous also means having a great relationship with God. A relationship that you know that wherever you're at, God is there with you. No matter what you're going through, God is there with you. You see, life is important. And what happens here in a specific text that I want to read to you, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is a promise that God gave the disciples in the Gospel of Luke to go to Jerusalem and wait there till they are endued with power from on high. It was a promise. And the Bible is very clear that when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. God has promised. An amazing thing to me to understand what God has done here and how what Pentecost states to everyone, every Christian that has ever been, it is now, or will be. Pentecost speaks life and power. It speaks power and life. It brings change to your life. You were once one way, and then you met Jesus, you became another way. And then when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, you became empowered to go through life in a different way. Amen. To walk with God and to see God and to understand God and to see what the Lord is saying to you to do. You know, there's this collage that I want you to look at, and it talks about life and change and how to know, and there's that word things, and be better in every way, and to love thoughts and welcome the world and the comfort, and to find changing positively and changes that are positive in your life. It's so important that we grasp a hold of these things, that we understand what's going on in our life. You know, change is a word that brings excitement to some and great discomfort to others, as I said earlier in this message. Being born again is such a structural thing. There's a process that you come to the Lord, you repent of your sins, you acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life, and you invite Him to come into your heart, and you begin to walk with Him, and He begins to walk with you. Are you with me? It's a structural thing. Pentecost, they were just waiting on a promise, and when it came, there wasn't structure on their part. The Holy Ghost just came and came within the midst of them with tongues of fire and sounds of a mighty rushing wind. And they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You see, power and life came together and began to use the chosen of God to do what He wants them to do. Now they were adjusted by God in a different way. Peter came out of that room and with the others, and they were speaking in tongues, and all these different nations were hearing their language. The Cretans, the Arabs, the Egyptians, and so on. They were hearing their language. And they said, "What meaneth this?" Or, "What does this mean?" And Peter interjected with a great anointed sermon where 3,000 people were saved that day. You see, there is something that happens on this holiday of Pentecost that is celebrated 50 days after Easter, when all of a sudden the Holy Ghost shows up, which was promised, as I mentioned earlier, in Luke, that they should tarry there, wait there in Jerusalem till they were endued with power. The problem with people today, and I don't want to speak on problems on such a glorious celebration day, is they don't tarry, they don't wait, they don't have patience to wait upon the promise of God for their life. Or they fear that change. "I certainly want to be a Christian, but I fear this baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire. I fear it because I don't understand it." My friend, let me tell you something. What God wants to do for you and what God wants to do for this world is have His power ignite this world. Have a world that's burning with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost, where lives are interjected into other lives, where people are seeing there's a difference in their life, there's a difference in their walk, there's a difference in their talk, there's a difference in their conviction. I don't know personally myself how anybody could live any day without the Holy Ghost of the living God. I don't know how they can wake up in the morning and start a day without the Holy Ghost of the living God. I don't know how they can go through the problems that this life offers at any given time without the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of the living God. Praise be to the Lord God, our Savior and our King, who has done great things for us. You know, He has got promises for you and I that He has not even fulfilled in our life. But let me tell you, God is the fulfiller of every promise that He's ever given. He's the King of kings and the Lord of glory. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the Lord, our Father, our God, our Savior, our Creator. He is Father God. He is Abba Father. He is Wonderful and Counselor. He is the King of kings and the Lord of glory in our life every day. He doesn't hesitate to bless us. He doesn't hesitate to give us what we need. He doesn't hesitate to come into our life and heal us. But we hesitate on receiving from Him. We think our life has got to be perfect to receive anything from God. No, it doesn't. We'll never be perfect till we step from this imperfect earth into a perfect glory. That's right. But He loves us so much that when we were imperfect, He gave Jesus Christ to die a horrific death on a hill called Golgotha, on a cross planted on Calvary, a death that none of us could ever do, that we are so impaired by the thought of what it would be like to die like that. He rose on the third day, a bodily resurrection, that we would have life forevermore and that we would be saved and have eternal life with Him. But 50 days after that Easter Sunday, He gave us the promise of the Holy Ghost of the living God that will empower us to live a life that can overcome any obstacle that comes our way.
Amen.
Overcome any situation or circumstance that tries to tackle us, paralyze us with doubt, with fear, with anxiety. The Bible's very clear, be anxious for nothing. The Bible's very clear, fear not. The Bible is very clear, why do you doubt? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Are you with me today? Do you understand that this is a day that we celebrate the very giving of the Holy Ghost into our life that started with 120 people? The church was birthed that day. 120 people, billions of people now are within the church that started that day on Pentecost Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the Holy Ghost of the living God.
Amen.
He speaks to us. He shows us things to come. He testifies of Jesus. He speaks truth into our life. He walks along our side. He comforts us. Oh, I should go down a more list. That's just enough to hold right there and to embrace and understand that there's a God who cares for us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 18, I love this verse. In those days I will pour out my spirit. Amen. That's what I mean about lifting your hands before the Lord. You're just wanting Him to pour into your life. Pour the more, pour the more, pour the more. Fill me to the overflow, for I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. For we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have been bought with a price, and ye are no longer your own. You're a temple of God. He can't live within drywall and stucco and wood. He can't live there. He can't live in the most precious marble pillars and the cedars from Lebanon. He can't live in buildings that men build. What He can live in is you and I, for we are vessels that are filled with the treasures that are ready to be poured out to a world that needs Jesus Christ. And what gives us the power to do that is the presence of His Holy Ghost. I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. They will speak my word. You see, when you preach, when you teach, if you use the word, you are prophesying. You are speaking into the lives of people. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hands with me this morning and just say, fill me more. Fill me more, God. Fill me more with your spirit, with your power. Fill me that I can be bold to present Jesus Christ in a dying and hurting world.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore.
Yeah.
There is that treasure that I just mentioned. It's better than silver or gold. It's better than a prize that you may win at a fair. It's better than a prize that you may win because you put in for something and you won that prize. Maybe a home, maybe a lot of money. It's better than all that, because all that can be spent and wasted away. But the treasure that we have is eternal. It cannot die. It cannot be wasted away. Rust nor moth nor thief can ever tarnish it, steal it, or eat away at it, because the King of Glory indwelleth within us by His Holy Spirit. We are celebrating today life. We are celebrating today power. We have been changed. Amen. Whether you like it or not, change came to your life.
That's right.
Sometimes change comes when you don't want it to come. Loss of a loved one is change. When a mother has to bury a child, it's change. When a husband leaves the family, or the wife leaves the family, there's change. Not all change is easy to accept, but the one change that we get when we receive the Holy Ghost is the ability to overcome the change that is so difficult for us to accept. You see, there's a pool of joy that we can draw from. There's a pool of promise that we can draw from. There is a pool of perseverance that we can draw from. There is a pool of prosperity, spiritually speaking, that we can draw from. There is a pool of life. There is a pool that has no bottom and no end, because that pool comes from God, who does not ever change. How do you know that our Father never changes? Because the Bible is clear that He said that. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ never changes. Well, how do you know then if He's going to be this to me, how can I accept the loss or the pain or the loss of a job or the loss of something great? I want to tell you today that God was in heaven watching His Son perish. His mother, as He perished on the cross, was at a far distance watching her son be slain who knew no sin. But she received the Holy Ghost that beautiful day. She was part of the 120, the Father that we serve and praise, the God who we are enlightened by daily in prayer. He literally sees what we go through. Jesus lived on this earth, and He became sin for us that we would not have to go through the hell that we would deserve because of our sinner's life. He'd been touched with our iniquities. He lived a life so He would understand what it is to know what sin is and to defeat it. God has a plan for each and every one of you. God has a blessing for each and every one of you. God has something that's so marvelous and so pure and so powerful that He says to you, if you can just accept Me, if you can just understand that I want to bring great change, great beauty, great power into your life, that you can overcome any mountain. You can swim across any river. You can go across any ocean. There's no road too long for you. And where change comes here and change comes there, I will show you what change is Mine and what change is of the enemy. You see, sometimes we make decisions that aren't God's decisions for our life, and it brings change that is horrible. But guess what? Know this, that God sees our mistakes and He forgives us of those. We have got to learn to forgive ourselves of our mistakes. We have got to stand on what the Word says, that God was for us, who can be against us? We've got to stand on the promises of the Word, that He is our shepherd. He is our peace. He is our banner. He is our healer. He is our Savior. He is our all in all. And when we praise Him, we are using all that we have within us to praise a God in heaven that loves us, that gave us His only begotten Son, and fulfilled His promises through the power of the Holy Ghost in our life.
Thank you.
Yeah. He is God. He's greater than what you're going through. Don't drag with you the mistakes of the past. Don't drag with you bad decisions that you have made. Untie those decisions today if they're there, and begin to walk in the freedom and the power of who Jesus Christ is in your life. Don't let people bring you down, because Jesus has lifted you up. Praise God. Don't let the enemy entrap you, because Jesus has broken every shackle that could ever be put on you. Amen. Know that there's a God in heaven that's stronger than any decision that you have made, any mistake that you have made, stronger than any person that is trying to destroy or keep you from having joy in your life. Rise up! Out of that muck of despair, that muck of displeasure, rise up, as He said, out of the miry clay, and allow yourself to walk on the rock that He has established for you, and sing the song that He has put in your heart. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a day to rejoice in, to surrender in, not say stop, but say more. This is a door that He has given us. That door is Jesus Christ. We enter in through Jesus. The way that we walk is through Jesus. The life that we have is through Jesus. But He's given us somebody to walk along our side, better than anybody that you know. Who knows your tomorrow? Who knows your next month? Who knows your next year? Who knows what you breathe? God never changes. Never changes. Never changes. Let me close by saying this. Some of those people in the upper room had the opportunity to sit around the feet of Jesus, if not all. That's amazing. Some of those people watched their friend, their son, their relative die. A horrific death, as I mentioned. Some of those people in that room were part of going to the tomb to seeing if He was there, and He was not. You see, you never look for the living where the dead are. Jesus is alive. Some of those people waited patiently for a promise that they had really no idea how empowered they would become. But when they received the power of the Holy Ghost, they were willing to go, listen, they were willing to go, now hear me now, listen, they were willing to go change the world. Instead of worrying about their changes, they were willing to go change the world. My statement to you today, are you willing to go change the world? Are you willing to say to your neighbor, there's a King of Kings and the Lord of Glory that is alive forevermore? Are you willing to get on your knees every morning? Are you willing to put a cloth over your forearm and pray as a servant before God on your knees, asking Him to give you responsibility that day to bring change to a life that is at loss without Jesus, who doesn't have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost as some of you do have? Are you willing to change your family by how you live and what this word states? Amen. Are you willing to be a change maker? That 120, they were willing to go to that upper room. Are you willing to go to an upper room in your home, in your prayer closet, in your spiritual altar? I had no idea what was going to happen to me in Stuart, Florida, that day that I gave my heart to the Lord. I had no idea what was going to happen to me. But in a bedroom, we formed an altar. And they prayed for me. And I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. I've never looked back. I had no idea that in the middle of the night in Corralitos, California, that my wife woke up and sat up straight in the bed and said, Father, would you baptize my husband Dennis in the Holy Spirit? She was already baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that night the Holy Spirit came into that room and baptized me with the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues. Change. I was empowered to bring change. And I continue to bring change wherever I go. Because the Spirit of the Lord wants this world to change into a place where God can look from heaven and be proud of what He's created. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray today for you to bring change into every person in this room this very morning.